Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So glad that you have tuned in to Abounding Grace this morning. Always glad to bring these radio broadcasts to you. And if you have been with us the last few days, you know that we are taking up this great subject of evangelism and the church's responsibility to do this and to tend to this great calling that Christ commissioned and gave us a great design for in the Great Commission, where he would send ordained servants and they would preach the gospel, and through the baptizing and the preaching and teaching ministry of the Word, disciples would be made so that these disciples would go out and be salt and light in the earth, telling others where they found this bread, telling others of the wonderful things Christ has done, being able to give an answer to the hope that, to everyone who asks, of the hope that is within us. Well, I've been outlining some dynamics and some struggles that we have faced in the Church of Jesus Christ, and yesterday we looked at three of them in the light of churches that do take their doctrine seriously. We looked at a certain cultural dynamic and physical dynamic. We looked at a doctrinal dynamic where our doctrines can have the effect of pupping us up in who we are instead of tenderly wooing us to Christ, filling us with the love of Christ, so that it would in turn promote discipleship. Now, what I'm saying in all of this today is that when we build a church community that is only there for its sake, culturally, physically, and doctrinally, when we do that, what becomes the primary goal of the church? Well, our own personal comforts and our own safety. You know, think about it. What is the mission and mandate of the church? To make disciples, but it can't only accommodate religious people. It's so easy to create an elaborate, self-contained subculture in which we feel safe and then don't have to get messy. But that's not really the design of the Great Commission. Remember, Christ sends preachers, they preach, baptize, you're made disciples to be his witnesses, and then invite them in. Yes, to serve one another in the life of the church, but also to invest your life in the lives of those who do not know. That's how a church grows properly. And this is exactly what our Lord did. He showed interest in sinners. He gave himself for sinners. He ate and drank with the prostitutes and the sinners, and the Pharisees hated him for that. But that's who he came for. Remember the great responsibility that we've outlined here in Matthew. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your purpose, you are to be transformed in order that your light may shine. So when our Christianity only goes to the extent of what is comfortable for me within my own walls that I've created, it will never really embrace what Christ said when he called sinners to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. Remember, Jesus said that. Denying yourself, taking up your cross, and follow him means that you're going to lose your life for his sake. When sinners came to Christ to follow him, what were they following him to do? Well, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. You are his witnesses. You say, I don't even know where to begin today in with someone. You know, we're in such a post-Christian culture. People are so, have their guards so up. Where do I begin? I love what one pastor said. Witnesses are not expected, like lawyers, to persuade by the rhetorical power of their speeches, but simply to testify to the truth for which they are qualified to give evidence. But to be adequate witnesses to the truth of God and the Word, witness must be a lived witness involving the whole of life, even death. And as such, it cannot show itself to be self-serving. I really like that today. I really like what he's saying, because he's saying that one who has had this transformation and been brought under the power of the gospel in a saving way, he is then qualified himself to tell how it happened to him. And that will be something that is lived in all of life as others see it in us. So let me give you a few things to ponder today as we think about this great responsibility and to reorient our thinking so that we would have perspective about our purpose and why we exist as the light in this dark world, if you're a Christian. We are his witnesses. It has to be something that we are qualified to give. That is a very important point. So in other words, before we can even talk about evangelism, we, the listener, you have to be transformed by this powerful gospel. There has to be the renewing in our minds of the riches of his grace to us, and that is done through the preaching of the cross. Remember in the parable of the talents? There were two men who came back to Jesus and had doubled their talents, and they were so overjoyed to serve the master. Look at what we've done. We bring this back. We've doubled our talent. They were overwhelmed just to have a place to serve in his kingdom. Remember the other servant, the wicked and the lazy servant? He went and did what? Buried his talent, his opportunity for service. What was the excuse he made? He said, "I knew you to be a hard man." I've always been moved by that. Do you see his view of God? God was so distant to him. He was a tyrant. No one will work for the Lord if that is their view of him. They are driven by lethargy and by fear, and they're miserable and they're joyless because they haven't been transformed by the gospel. That will be their view of God and serving in his church. And in that case, then, as we look at that and contrast that with the ones who are so excited to serve and double their talent, double their opportunities to serve in the kingdom, nothing then will so propel us to long for the lost until we have been overwhelmed by his grace to us in pulling us off the path of misery. Knowing and believing in his marvelous love in the gospel for me personally, the good news that I need every week, I need to know myself about the unsearchable riches of Christ. I need to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that I may be filled with the fullness of God. And I really need to believe that. I need to hear that. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. It is his love and gospel and assurance that compels me. So in other words, my friends, my whole mindset needs to be every Sunday of what a blessing it is to come and to hear Christ preached, clothed in his joyful gospel, his good news. Because then as I see my own need, I'm refreshed of how wonderful this grace is to me and how lowly and how unworthy I am for it, that I am no better than any of those prostitutes out there on the street. That I am in such desperate need myself, a churchman of this gospel, as I am continually renewed in its promises, never losing sight of where I've come from and where I'm going, I will then have that bleeding heart for those who don't have it. You see, you fill a church with people who have this joy, whose joy is inexpressible and fullness of joy in coming to the house of the Lord to hear the wonders of his love, you won't need to talk about how to do evangelism or what to say. It will be the natural outcome of what you have become. Now, that is all opposed to a subculture. That is all opposed to a subculture community of people picking at whatever is wrong. A community of people complaining about this and that in the life of the church, of the woes in life, a community of people tied to mere ritualism, a community of people who express no joy and delight in coming to the Lord's house but are there out of mere duty. So I'm saying, it starts in the life of the church. What do people see in you? Are we witnesses? Do they come to us? When they come to us, do they hear about all our problems in life? I'm going to walk away and say, is that Christianity? It's that kind of environment that will not produce what Matthew chapter 28 is after. Let me explain it this way. One pastor tells of a church that had a real bad reputation in the community. History of conflicts, fights, splits, and nothing but problems. Here's what the pastor said happened. Many in the church were sick of the strife and responded to the Spirit under the preaching of the gospel. As a body, they began to act and look more like Christ. Gossip died down. The gifts of the Spirit began to flourish. The deacons faithfully sent flowers to hospitalized and sick in the community. Hot meals were taken to chronically ill persons. A spirit of prayer and intercession began to happen in the life of the church. Visitors were impressed by a new attentiveness in the Sunday worship services. One of them remarked, "Before, when I visited, everyone was reading their bulletins and just looking around. There was no engagement. The youth were disconnected. But now, they listen like hungry people. The change is so mysterious, it's frightening, you know?" Church doubled in size, by the way. You see what has to happen first? Do you see what must take place in our own hearts in the house of God? When it does, then I begin to long for the lost. My witness then will be a lived witness among the whole of life, even my death. Why are you here? It is to be a witness. And you see, when I begin to understand that I begin to see that the church is a place not for my own convenience, not for my own making, not for all the people that I like, but it's actually a place where sinners are saved, where sinners, wretched sinners under the curse are changed and brought under the power of the gospel and justified and set apart and sanctified, I begin to see the church as a place where some of the most unexpected disciples are made, starting with me. You see, that's what's always so moving, is that the Spirit takes those and saves those whom we would never expect. That's what Jesus said, remember, chose all these little, weak, lowly disciples. And what did he say to them? "You did not choose me, says the Lord. I chose you." And then he says that you should bear fruit. And you can apply that to any Christian today. You did not choose Jesus. Let me say that again, because that's so contrary to everything we hear today. This is Jesus' words. You did not choose me. The Lord says, "I chose you that you should bear fruit." And you know what that means? That means if there is really the doctrine of election, which the Bible teaches all over the place, that Christ is building his church, that means I don't get to choose who sits in the pew next to me. You see, I'm to have an unhypocritical love for my neighbor, regardless of whether he fits my ethnic, generational, socioeconomic status, or anything else that I would choose of the kind of person I would like in the pew next to me. You see, the more I decrease, the more Christ will be increased in me in the whole of my life. So you see, that means that we all, if you are a Christian today, have to be willing to invest our lives, not in the comfort zone of our own, just in our own churches where it's easy and we feel safe, but yes, in the very messy lives of sinners, for the purpose that the apostle said so many years ago, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal bodies, that we would indeed be his salt and light in the earth, to the glory of God and the salvation of souls. Bounding Grace Radio is a ministry of the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We give you a sincere invite to join us for worship on the Lord's Days, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. We also invite you to look up in our website many of the resources and materials and sermons that we have there for you, that you may know who we are and what we believe. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.